A woman came to my door one day. She was ailing physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. People come to my door. I'm a healer. I carry 8 medicine bags. I'm well trained in all kinds of energetic arts. And I was curious what was her problem. So I began her assessment, and while she was talking to me, she explained that she was working with a shaman. I was curious about this shaman. I had heard about him, and I asked if I could have his phone number so maybe we could work collaboratively and support this woman through her healing journey. I did call after she gave me the number, and I made an appointment to meet with this man. I drove out to a very unusual part of the country, and I arrived on a very unusual compound, and I knocked on the door, and I waited to be let in. I was brought into the room by one of his followers, and I was indicated to sit in a particular chair, and I just sat there for quite a long time, not sure what was going on. And eventually, they said, "Go there." So I went into this smaller room, and there was a man sitting on the floor. He never looked at me. He was wearing a fedora hat. He was dark-skinned. He had lots of gold chains and medallions around his neck. He was puffing away and throwing some beads. I waited patiently while he finished throwing these beads, and then he inquired why had I come. And I explained to him that I had come because I wanted to work collaboratively and support this woman, and I knew he had been working with her. And he said, "Well, we might be able to do that, but first you have to be cleared." So I agreed to whatever this clearance might be, and I was slightly curious anyway. I'm a kind of curious cat. And I thought, okay, I will go through this experience. This is a short period of time, but a very intense period of time, about 5-6 months. And I began to undergo some very unusual things. And I had occasion to be a little concerned and began to wonder whether or not our paths were quite similar. And we weren't yet working with this woman. However, he did ask me one day, would I like to work with him and be trained by him because I could become a better healer? And I indicated that I thought and felt I was already quite an effective healer. And he said that many of the things that I did were not allowable for women to do. And I said, "Well, I have studied and trained all over the world and taught, and no one has objected to teaching me as a woman. And so I'm going to resist further training from you." And then at some point in time, he invited me out to his home to work with his ailing son. This was his favorite son. And he and his wife were leaving, but he left me under the eyes of all of these other followers. I went into the kitchen, and I went through their meager supplies, and I mixed up poultices and teas and some balms and salves and applied them regularly and sweat his son. And his son did recover. I didn't realize that this was going to be a problem for me, having successfully shown him what I could do, and I was excited to share what I had done. Shortly later, a command came, and it was basically I had to crawl on my knees and get to him, and it was like, uh-oh, I don't know what that means. I came to the compound again, and I was shown into the sitting room again, and I had my little basket of things that you give always to a shaman, and they took me into the really scary initiation room, where there were lots of dead animals and guns and knives and all kinds of images and some really huge statues. And he was sitting in the corner puffing on that cigar, throwing those beads. Now, I know by now what those beads mean, if it's a yes or a no, but I don't know what the question is. But I have a sense of foreboding, and I give him my gifts. And he takes those gifts and he flings them across the room and he goes, "I don't want anything from you." I'm like, uh-oh. And I'm sitting on the chair, and he's throwing those beads. And then I look right across from me. On the wall was a dead bird with a knife in its heart, bleeding all over my name, and my name written in blood. And he looks at me for one moment, and he says, "You've been stealing souls." And I laughed because I thought he was making a joke. but he wasn't making a joke. And he got really Richter and frozen hard, and he said, it's very serious, you've been stealing souls, and you'll have to do a lot of work to undo that. And I said, I'm really sorry, but I absolutely am not stealing souls. That's not my business. My business is to heal and to teach, and I don't do those kinds of things. And he said, you have 3 days to make up your mind. And I said, well, I cannot support it. I've taught and trained and healed people all over this world. There's no way I'm bringing them all back from all these different parts to you. I said, I really respect your work. However, I have felt for some time that you and I walk different paths. I walk with love and a sense of returning and restoration of healing to the person. You walk with a lot of power, a lot of control, and it's based on fear. And I do respect it, but I don't think we can continue walking. There was this freeze in the room, and he picked up his gun, and he said, get her the hell out of here before I kill her. And I shook, and I stood there, and I walked up to the door, and I stood at the door, and I said, for all those who can see me, for all those who can hear me, I stand for love and healing. And for all those who I cannot see, for all those who I cannot hear, but you can see me and you can hear me, I stand for love and for healing. And he said, get her out of here before I kill her. I walked to the door and I got in my car and I left. I thought of what Martin Luther King had pointed out once. He said, if a person hasn't discovered what they will die for, then they're not fit to live. I'm fit.